Our text is from the Gospel reading from Luke 4. Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Here ends our text. 30 years ago, Anne Murray sang how we sure could use a little good news today. Well, today we need more than a little. And we get our first clue that we're going to get it by comparing what Isaiah wrote in the Old Testament lesson with what Jesus read from Isaiah in the Gospel. Did you notice the two phrases Jesus left out? To heal the brokenhearted and the day of vengeance of our God. I'm not sure why Jesus left out the part about the brokenhearted, but I do know why he left out the day of God's vengeance. Because he has a lot of good news today. Just who is the good news for, according to Jesus? He says it's for the poor, not the rich, the prisoner, not the free, for the blind, not the seeing, for the crushed, not the altogether. If you consider yourself rich, this good news isn't for you today or any other day. If you think you're free, then the good news is not for you. If you think you see everything clearly now, go on and remain in your blindness. If you're not crushed, Jesus is not talking to you. If you have nothing to offer Jesus, not riches, not talents, not time, if you have no excuses, no promises, no best efforts to lay before him, if nothing in your hand you bring, no opinions, no knowledge, no truth, then Jesus has something for you. If you are bankrupt of not only faith, hope, and love, but can't even offer your repentance, remorse, and contrition to God, then there is more than a little good news here for you today. The good news here today is for the prisoners, not the free. You are not free because you mock your chains. You are not free because you think you can break your chains anytime you want to. You are not free because you can't or won't see your chains. Remember the movie Truman about 15 years ago? For 30 years, Truman lived inside a movie set without realizing it. He was a prisoner and didn't know it. But his ignorance didn't make him free. Likewise, sin, death, and the devil keep many ignorant of their chains. For these, there's no good news today. How could there be? Only one who knows he's in prison can ever be set free. The good news Jesus proclaims today is for the blind, not for those who see. If you don't know, as Paul says, that we come into this world spiritually blind, if you think by your own powers of sight you clearly perceive the things of God, then what do you care for the recovery of sight? You're the petulant child who gets so upset when you point out what you know they can't see. They'd rather remain blind than be shown they aren't seeing. Last, Jesus says the good news is for the oppressed. I translate that crushed. The verb means to break, shatter, crush, and it's a perfect passive. That means someone or something else has crushed you, and you are in a crushed state now and will be forever if no one intervenes. The good news is not for those who have it all together. The good news is not for those that God's rules don't crush, break, or shatter. The good news is not for you if the law brings forth from you well-crafted excuses or best-laid plans to do better. If you go back to the Old Testament lesson, you see that the good news, according to Isaiah, is for mourners, grievers, despairers. It's not for the bold and beautiful. It's not for the certain and sure. It's not for the little orphan Annies who just know the sun's going to come up tomorrow. It's not for the little Injuns who know they can. The confident rich young man walked away from the good news. The proud Pharisees had no use for it. Did you ever catch a news story in the middle? Ever tune into a movie in progress? Isn't it exasperating when the news keeps mentioning a person but don't say what he's in the news for? Isn't it frustrating to be missing the key piece of information that makes the movie intelligible? Well, you could be exasperated and frustrated now. I've told you who the good news was and wasn't for, but I haven't told you what the good news is. The good news, says Jesus, that he's been appointed to preach is specifically the good news of a victory. Now, it's good news to be told God is not angry with you. It's good news to be told God loves you. It's good news to be told God accepts you. That's all many think the good news is. But such good news leaves out Jesus. It leaves out God sending his only Son into flesh and blood to fight a battle, to fight our battle. God sent his beloved Son to war with only the weapons of flesh and blood to fight. Oh, he had divine power and might, but if he won with those, the victory would be God's, not man's. So Jesus went into battle against our sins, the devil, the death they bring, and the devil who uses both to stake his claim on our souls. Jesus went to war with all three with nothing but our flesh and blood. The good news is that Jesus won. Sin never established a beachhead in Jesus. Jesus, though tempted in every single way you are, never sinned. But you did. And because of that, death had a claim on you that the devil prosecuted. So having won your war, Jesus still pled guilty to deserving your death, your hell, and all the punishments you rightly fear. And Jesus paid the last drop of blood, sweat, and tears owed. The last breath of life Jesus willingly gave to death for you. This gave Jesus and you the victory over sin, death, and the devil. The devil can't find one sin of yours that Jesus did not suffer and die for and rise victoriously over already. So, the good news is that you are freed from the prison of your sin and sinfulness. When Jesus says he was sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, that Greek word is usually translated forgiveness. And that's how you should hear it here. Jesus sets prisoners of sin free, not by empowering them never to sin again, but by forgiving their sins. Free, unconditional forgiveness for the sake of his perfect life and guilty death. That's what opens doors for prisoners of sin. The good news is recovery of sight. That happens because Jesus paid for your spiritual blindness. That's what God says in Isaiah 42:19. He says, "Who is so blind as my servant?" Because we are born spiritually blind does not mean we have an excuse for not seeing spiritual things. Our inability to see spiritual things is not like physical blindness, for which there is no guilt. Jesus, the perfectly seeing Son of God, was convicted of being the most spiritually blind person ever and won spiritual eyesight for all humanity. The good news is that as freely and as easily as Jesus gave physical sight to the blind, that's how free and easy he gives recovery of spiritual sight. And when we come to the crushed, we're back explicitly to the forgiveness of sins. That word translated release in our insert is that same Greek word usually translated forgiveness. Hear that word here. The good news is forgiveness for those crushed by the weight of their sinfulness or shattered by the weight of just one sin or broken by many, many sins. And you don't really get how desperately the Lord wants to forgive your sins until you hear Isaiah 53:10. There the Lord, it says, the Lord was pleased to crush Jesus, putting him to grief to make him a sin offering. Rather than crush you, the Father says, rather than crush you, the Father was pleased to crush Jesus. Rather than you continue to be crushed by your sin or guilt, he wants to forgive you for Jesus' sake. How then does this good news, this great news, become yours? Well, isn't Jesus playing about that? Doesn't he say, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing? Not so fast. That's not what Jesus actually says. He says, literally, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Substituting these things on the outside of your head for what's going on inside your head, makes the whole thing subjective. If this scripture, which is all good news to poor, blind, crushed prisoners of sin, is if it's fulfilled in my hearing, well, what questions, what doubts, what anxieties must follow? Have I rightly heard? Did I hear correctly? Was I really hearing, or was I just daydreaming? Jesus does not say his proclaiming the good news today is fulfilled in your hearing, but in your ears. Well, really, he says even more than that. He says, it has forever been fulfilled in your ears. Fulfilled, that's another perfect passive. You don't do the fulfilling, God does. And he fulfills it forever and ever in your ears. This is objective. It's not about how you heard or are you hearing, but what you heard, what is in your ears. Good news is. The good news of a victory over sin, death, and the devil is in your ears today. Notice how Jesus makes no mention of faith, of believing the good news. He doesn't say, as many as you want to make him say, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, if you believe it. Or, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, as long as you have faith. Don't misunderstand. The good news is the promise of victory, of forgiveness, of sight. And promises are made to be believed. But faith needs a place to hang its hat. Faith needs something to hold on to. When faith isn't pointed to the place it's to hold on to, it turns inward. And then you end up with faith in faith. You end up believing you believe. You make God's promise only as sure as the believing going on in your fallen heart. Jesus would rescue us from this today. The good news that enriches poor sinners with salvation, that frees sinners from prison of sins by forgiving them, that gives spiritual sight to the blind and relieves those crushed by guilt by forgiving it, all this took place just now in your ears. All this good news, all this gospel, all this forgiveness, all this spiritual sight, and all this freedom from guilt are all yours as sure as you have ears. Jesus has placed all this good news in your ears by my mouth. This is reality. For his sake, God has enriched you with salvation. For Jesus' sake, God has enriched you with salvation, released you from the prison of your sins, enlightened your darkness, and brought you out from under the guilt that crushes you. Don't go on living as if you're bankrupt of salvation. Don't go on living as if you're imprisoned by your sins. Don't go on living as if you're blind to God's truth. Don't go on living as if you are crushed by guilt. People do that, you know. They have riches, but they act as though they're broke. They have been freed prisoners who refuse to walk out of their cells. There are people with perfectly healthy eyes who still won't see. And there are people who refuse to put down loads that are crushing them. This is sad when it happens in the physical realm, sadder still in the spiritual. But it doesn't have to happen to you. In your ears, Jesus has placed good news today. A lot of good news. So much good news that it will last all your days. Good days, bad days, happy days, sad days, light days, dark days. The good news will even outlast your last day. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.